is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We're here at the New York Auto Show to talk to two workers who are up here from Canton, Mississippi, handing out flyers to the public who are attending the show to let them know that they intend to unionize their Canton, Mississippi Nissan plant and to give a message to Nissan, stop inhibiting the workers' efforts to unionize. Rafael Martinez, it is nice to see you back in New York from the deep south, Mississippi, and a new friend, Sheila Wilson, both came up for the auto show up here. They are auto workers. We're going to find out a lot more about them and the issues in their plant in Mississippi. Sheila, why did you come to New York?
I came to New York to be a part of the leafleting at the auto show. Came on last year and leafleted on behalf of our co-workers in Mississippi to let New York know that we are still dealing with the labor rights in Mississippi, to form our union and to continue to ask for their support. And since we've been here, we have got great support from the citizens of New York, because they always say that union has destroyed North. But coming to New York, it seems like New York is doing pretty fine to us.
Back in New York, once again this year, it's my comment is in harmony with what Sheila just mentioned. You know, we're here to show our support, to let the New Yorkers know that we are still in a fight for the right to vote for union at Nissan. And one of the ways that we can do this is to let our presence be known to New Yorkers, as well as the car buyers of the world, of the injustice that's happening in Mississippi right now. So that's why we're here.
Well, we would be remiss if we didn't find out about what Sheila and Rafael did in the plant down in Mississippi.
I am a technician at Nissan. I work in the paint department, and my job is to make sure that all the vehicles are sealed before they enter into the paint booth. I've been at Nissan approximately 11 years now. Since I've been there, it has been a challenge, and I really enjoy working there, but it's a lot of safety issues and a lot of issues that we need to bargain in on.
Well, I've been there about 11 years now, and I work in trim. In fact, one of my responsibilities is to deck the front windshield and the back glass, along with installing the dashboard.
And both of you mentioned some issues. I think we should examine some of those issues, starting with the one that you mentioned first, safety, I think, was. Sheila, so you want to expound on that?
Okay, a lot of the safety issues that we're having with Nissan, for instance, we have, like, on the back of our SUV, we have a lift device that's supposed to lift the units up for us. It weighs, and the hatch weighs about 65 pounds. So they took that off because it wasn't keeping up with the line speed. And we also had technicians to get hurt on that. And I am a candidate for an injured shoulder for doing a lot of overhang, because the manager wouldn't rotate you into different positions and things. So it's a lot, it's more of a quantity issue than a quality issue there. You know, I need to get it out, but at the risk of being safe, you know. So a lot of safety issues is really have hurt a lot of people there. A lot of the safety issues we're having, we also have technicians that has been injured on the job a lot, and when they go out on leave, they come back and they put them back on the same job that injured them. And myself, I has a pinched nerve in my shoulder, and I'm still doing the same overhead work that I've been doing, and it still is no change. We also have a lot of power tools, and the power tools that we use causes a lot of copper tonus, because you're on the job all day or twice a day, I mean, rotating only twice a day or so. So there's a lot of issues there in regards to being safe. Our health-wise, we have experienced a lot of women having breast cancer there. We don't know what's the cause of it. We have experienced a great deal, about over 50% of the women have had hysterectomies there from jumping in and out of vehicles. So it's really a lot of health and safety issues there in Nissan that we really want to address to make our job more ergonomic for us to work in.
And Rafael, I remember when we interviewed you last time around the auto show time, you mentioned that there might be a raise in store. Has that raise materialized?
Yes, it has materialized. However, though, sad to say, it was a tremendous disappointment. I mean, to believe that after not getting a raise for some 6 years and the company continues to breaking record profits, I mean, the numbers are just mind-boggling, and to only get 55 cents after not getting a raise for almost 6 years, that was like a slap in the face.
We also discussed at that point that there were some problems with the retirement benefits, and that might be changing over, but the company would be making changes there. Whatever happened with that?
Yeah, the company did make a change according to our retirement benefits plan. As we speak right now, our pension has been frozen. What the company decided to do on their own terms, is that they would only put a little something in your pension once a year, and that would be December 31st. However, though, if you quit within that year, or you get fired for whatever reason, or something happens where you're not there after December 31st, then you wouldn't get anything put into your pension plan.
So when Nissan came in, they promised all kinds of things. What actually is the reality? They did very well. They got all kinds of tax breaks from the state and so on. But what did they really give to the workers, if anything?
They really didn't give anything to the workers. Actually, they took away from the workers. They took away the, like you say, they took away the pension plan. Our insurance that we receive now is really ridiculous now. Our insurance has changed tremendously. We can't even go to the doctor now without, I wear contacts and glasses, and I have to still pay $100 to $200 out of my pocket just to afford those things. The medicine there has changed. You can't even get prescriptions like you used to. It's a lot that, for instance, when I was hospitalized, I went to the hospital. I 1 year before the insurance change, I made it pay $50. Now I go to the hospital and stay overnight, you're paying $2,000. So that is a prime example of how the insurance has changed tremendously. For as hourly, we work more now than we used to without anything being said. They give us our breaks and things when they want to now. So everything that they promised us has really just did a backfall on us now.
Well, no wonder you think you need a union.
Something I thought about. And we did get something, though. What we did get was our whopping dose of depressing reality. That's what we got.
Is there a cure for that?
Yes, there is a cure for that. The only viable solution, but if we had a union, then we would have the power and the ability to bargain with the company and thus being able to level the playing field. And that way we can have a say-so in our health insurance, our safety issues, our pension, pay raises, because we need to have a voice in order that we can speak on our behalf and in behalf of others who work at Nissan.
Well, you're trying to get one. Now, what has the company been doing about that?
So far, the company has been doing nothing but telling you that the plant will close. We have had PowerPoint meetings and roundtable meetings and one-on-ones with managers would say, you know, unions close this plant. Look what they do to the North. We have managers that say, why you think you need a union? You don't need a third party. And you have to really tell them, hey, the union is not a third party. We are the union. We are only two people bargaining, and that's us and the company. So for that to big effect on the employees, you know, it makes them think, you know, what really is going on. I mean, why would you say these things, and why are you so threatening for a union? If everybody in the rest of the country can have one, why are you so threatening that we can't have one in Mississippi?
And not just that, because at the end of the day, how can a union be such a bad thing if the company itself is a union company, which openly supports union in their country, Japan, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Poland, Australia, Great Britain, all these countries where Nissan has a stronghold, they unionize. Now, what we have asked ourselves and asked them, now, why is it? Why there's such hypocrisy against the unions when you know you yourself are a union supporter? So my question is this again, because I've asked them, how is it that you can alienate yourself from the company, make your own rules to only benefit yourself, and say that we're not a union company. But in retrospect, we know you are. And you do work side by side, hand in hand, in harmony with unions. That's what we're dealing with as well.
Well, I wonder if I can ask another painful, difficult question. What your thoughts are on other UAW efforts in Tennessee and so on, where we really thought that there was going to be a vote for the union. I mean, what do you think happened there? Because to some degree, I think it informs the nature of the struggle down in Mississippi to unionize the Nissan plant.
Well, I was present, and so was Sheila. When we got there, I mean, we were very optimistic. We felt good. You could feel the spirit. Everybody was hyped up. However, though, we know that the outcome wasn't what we wanted, wasn't what we had anticipated. But nonetheless, though, we view that as a setback, not as a defeat. And this is the Deep South. To only lose by 43 votes, there's no way, shape, or form that the politicians in Tennessee can feel good about their accomplishment. Because in the Deep South, when you can win. But just 43 votes, that's nothing to hang your head about. So we feel good. Disappointed of the outcome, but we feel good about our chances. Because after all the hard work, all the lies that they told, they only still won by 43 votes. So it just goes to show the South is losing its grip on unions.
And they really pulled out the big guns on this, the political guns, because Volkswagen was said they were neutral, but the politicians came on board. What happened over there?
When we got into Tuscaloosa, we seen billboards that even talked about the president, talked about say no to union. And for the politicians to interfere with the workers like that, it really was a disgrace. And after the votes was in, to hear the council of the Volkswagen plant to come out and say it, he was very disappointed in the votes because they really very unionized about it. In Chattanooga, we really felt that it was helpful for us to know that a councilman is really strong unionized for a plant that a politician that interfered with.
Well, let me ask you, it sounds like you have a real base of support in the union where you are. Are you receiving any outside support from the churches, from student groups, from other people in the community to help you?
Certainly, we've been very, very fortunate. We've been blessed with the help of the religious communities. We had them on board. We've been fortunate to have the young college student from the many universities, not just in Mississippi, but also outside the state of Mississippi. We have business leaders that have come on board. They recognize our struggle. You know, they want to be part of this because this is history in the making. Many people have said a statement that the South will rise, but it will rise, but not in the way they think it's going to rise. It's going to rise in a different way.
We also have what they call a community, the Mafia Group, which is the Mississippi Alliance for a Fair Election for Nissan. So we also have that consists of clergy leaders, religious leaders, and we have that group also out there supporting us on our campaign. So that really helps us out a lot, too. Help us fight the politicians and let the politicians know that, hey, we're going to stand with Nissan regardless of what you all say.
And one of the things that I also want to raise up is the question of the reliance on temporary workers and how that's unfolding in the Mississippi plant and the detriment then to the permanent workforce.
That's one of the things that we that's happening in Mississippi right now at the Nissan plant. Many of the temporary workers are gradually now becoming Nissan workers. However, though, there is a process that must take place. They got to be there for 2 years. And then what the company is going to do is going to tap out their pay at only $18. So I've asked them, in fairness, how do you think you can support a family 10 years from now making $18?
So let me see if I understand. So, of course, they're coming on with less benefits and they're coming on with less pay. And doesn't that create an enormous division in the workforce as well?
They know the pay is different and we know the pay is different. So what we do as co-workers is talk to them and let them know, hey, this is one of the reasons why we're trying to form our union. So you will not have to go through. We want y'all to get the same pay as we do. We want y'all to get the same benefits. We want y'all to, you know, you working side by side with us. And we don't want you to get this mentality that you don't want to build a quality vehicle because of the less pay. So we try to influence them all the time to, like, this is why we're fighting for our union. And a lot of them support us on that. And that's how we stay together in there because we don't want the company to split us up and to have a one-sided plant. We want all of us to work together so we can form our union so they will be able to be able to bargain at the table and be a part of Nissan the way we are.
Are these workers that are hired directly by Nissan or are these outside contractors that have contracted to hire these workers?
These outside contractors, which they call the Kelly Services, they're not hired by Nissan. They go through the Kelly Services contractor, and then Nissan makes the decision if they're going to hire them or not. Right now, even when they do hire them, the benefits are still pitiful. They don't even have the right benefits or anything that we have. So we let them know as we're working beside them that, hey, we're fighting to get this board so we all can be one, you know, as one plant.
And so what is it that you folks really want, and how are you going about getting it?
We want what every plant that Nissan has in the world. We want to be part of a union. Because how can you feel part of the family if you can come and sit at the table, she said, with everybody else. Why should the workers in Mississippi be continued to treat like second-class citizens and asked to stay in the kitchen or stay in the background? We can hear you, but we really don't want to see you. Why is that? Is it perhaps because of the demographic? Or what other reason? Maybe, but who knows? Because at the end of the day, what we want is no different, no more, no less than what the Mexicans have, the Japanese, the Brazilian, the British, and the other ones wherever Nissan has a stronghold. They have a union. We want to have the power to say, wait a minute, I think my insurance needs to be different. Why should you be able to legislate to us how everything should go? I mean, do we not have the right to have a voice? Just like a Japanese brothers and sisters have, the Australian brothers and sisters. That's all we want. We just want what's fair. We don't want no more. No, this. Give us a right to have a vote. This is a democratic country. You know, one of the most basic rights in any democracy is the right to vote. That's all we want.
And speaking of right to vote, tell us about Freedom Summer.
Freedom Summer is the 50th year of Freedom Summer. They're all coming back together to see the accomplishments of the civil rights and the labor rights that went into place 50 years ago. And so we're going to have that in Mississippi in June. And they're going to come and see also that we are still fighting civil rights in Mississippi about trying to form a union. So this is really something exciting to us to let us know that this struggle not only started with Martin Luther King and Walter Reed, it still continues on today.
And I gather there's going to be some marches. And
yes, there will be marches. We are planning on marching from the UAW office into the plant. So, and we're going to have a lot of big leaders and ministers and clergy and all that's going to support us.
And maybe just lastly, I know you're going to get that union, but do you think that the local politicians are going to be as aggressive and destructive as they were in the Tennessee plant and trying to fight these efforts to have that democratic voice and to bargain collectively for your rights?
Actually, they have already started doing that. I actually spoke at the City Hall a couple of months ago because they're trying to change the bills for us to even stop leafling and supporting the unions in Mississippi. So they're actually changing bills and has signed off on bills for us to do that. So we know they're going to come and hit us that hard, but we're going to keep the faith and we're going to keep fighting.
You know, we recognize the fact that just like in Tennessee, when Senator Cocker got involved, heavily involved, and started preaching against the USW, we know that Mississippi, it's going to be no different. In fact, it'll probably even be worse. However, though, we feel good about our chances. We feel very good because, you know, we're not going to be discouraged, and we're going to continue to fight regardless. Because at the end of the day, when you're talking about civil rights and labor rights, we got to have that.
Well, I guess next time we're going to have to meet you on your own home turf in Mississippi to celebrate that ribbon cutting of the plant with a brand new union, thanks to people like Sheila Wilson and Rafael Martinez. Oh, we could celebrate up north here, too. We got some work to do on unions as well, but I'm confident with the kind of fortitude and the kind of sensitivities that you have that you're going to get that union and really get the kind of wages and working conditions that people deserve, who indeed create the profit for the companies.
And then you can come up north and teach us how to do it.
Mm-hmm. And we are also inviting New York to come down and help us with our support with us with our Freedom Summer. And we'd like for you all to go to our webpage, dobetternissan.org, and see some of the things that we are doing down there, because we try to post everything and let everybody know what we are doing. So we really thank New York for their support and everybody that's supporting us out there.
If we could get perhaps some New Yorkers to come down south to Mississippi and perhaps encourage some of the workers down there, you know, it's always good to see a new, fresh face, you know, with new ideas, new thoughts, a different way of putting a spin on something. We would really love to invite you, and we'll take care of you when you come down there. Come on down to Mississippi.
Live from the New York Auto Show, we've been talking with Nissan workers in Canton, Mississippi, organizing a union with the UAW.
What's going on? There's a war zone here today out in the heartland, but the union's here to stay. Those multinational
War on the Workers, sung by Eddie Starr. And now, Good Jobs First, Nissan. This mini-documentary produced by the UAW features the unionization efforts of Nissan workers in Mississippi, with the voices of rank-and-file Nissan UAW members, with Mississippi Congressperson Benny Thompson, actor-activist Danny Glover, and Derek Johnson, president of the Mississippi NAACP.
Treat Mississippi workers fair, treat Mississippi workers just, and allow them to have a voice in their workspace.
Everyone's scared. They're scared what's going to happen. They're scared they're going to lose their job. I'm scared I'm going to lose my job right now.
Beneath that shine is a bunch of afraid workers that are injured.
Workers and community leaders are finally speaking out against a company that had once promised so much. Workers are now demanding a voice at Nissan.
With a voice, we can help to make improvements in the safety in our plant. We can help make improvements in the quality of our vehicles. We can make improvements in the quality of our lives and our families' lives.
These workers are happy that Nissan decided to build a massive plant in their community, happy that they'd been hired. But they also want to have some control over what the contract and what this relationship is.
This is about fairness. Everybody understand how important a job is, but also in America, being able to decide whether or not you want representation is a fundamental principle of civil rights, human rights, in a democracy.
Good jobs are hard to come by. And for the opportunity to land 5,000 of them, the state of Mississippi, the county of Madison, and the city of Canton offered substantial financial incentives to Nissan. They felt they had accomplished a lot for their communities when Nissan decided to build its manufacturing plant in Canton. The community hoped that Nissan would raise the area to new heights. According to a report commissioned by the Mississippi Development Authority, the Nissan plant was expected to employ 5,300 plant workers and create an additional 22,000 supplier and related jobs. The state expected the average wage at the plant to be around $45,000. As a result, local businesses would flourish around the plants. Schools would profit with much-needed resources, and local and state government would gain revenue from taxes to strengthen the community. Finally, a new hope came to Canton, and its crusader was Nissan.
I remember when we first started, everybody was just so excited to be there, and we was had T-shirts, I am so excited to be at Nissan, and the atmosphere was so powerful. But now, it's just like, it's just changed.
10 years later, the hope was gone. And so were the dreams of those who wished most that having Nissan in their community would bring a better, stronger, more prosperous life to taxpayers. Instead, they're paying for the costly privilege of hosting a corporation who has failed to meet the community's expectations.
Bring your companies to the South. We're the new Mexico. We're the new China. The profits are high. Labor costs is low. You make big money. They truck billions of dollars back to Japan. And the American workers left holding the bag, and the taxpayer.
According to a report by Good Jobs First, the last time Nissan disclosed the number of temporary workers was in 2008. Nearly 22% of its employees at that time were temporary workers. Of the nearly 22,000 expected supplier and related jobs, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported just 4,400 in 2012. That's down 50% from the year 2000 before Nissan opened in Canton. More shocking, Nissan was offered up to $1.3 billion in subsidies from state and local government. In other words, taxpayers offered Nissan up to $1.3 billion over the life of the subsidies to lure Nissan to and keep in Canton. And now, 10 years later, Nissan has benefited from hundreds of millions of dollars in subsidies. What has it given back to the state or community? How come Nissan was offered over $1.3 billion but won't give their workers a free and fair election to decide whether they should have a union or not? Nissan can and should do better.
You guys all want a union?
Yes.
What reasons?
Have a voice.
Fair elections.
And Have there been any specific incidences that you care to discuss? Or
yes, we have had anti-union meetings. And we have a voice, and we should have the right to choose. I mean, if you're going to have an anti-union meeting here at Nissan at Ken, we should have a pro-union meeting.
Who conducted the anti-union meeting?
I have management, I guess.
So y'all feel like management is dead set against the union?
Yes.
Maybe talk again for everybody about the anti-union meeting. What do you know about it?
We had a round table meeting, so they had each employee used to come in, get off the line, and stand there about an hour, 15 minutes, and it was just anti-union. Nissan is anti-union. They don't want a union. They don't need a union. So it was just mostly just drilling us, trying to get in our heads, and that's not what we want there. So that's what they were saying. And what we were saying as employees is if they have that free opportunity to say anti-union, we should have the opportunity to have the union to come in and voice the way they do things. And to give us a voice to have us a right to choose whether we want to have a union or not. So,
what kind of things are happening that make you want to unionize?
Well, it's about our voice. And we have a lot to say. We're on that line each and every day working hard. And it's about the customers. It's about making quality vehicles. And it's about us having a voice and be partnering with Nissan and discuss our policies, our job security, our environment we work in, our wages, and just safety. So that's what we're all about. It's not us bashing Nissan because we are Nissan. So we just want the same privilege as Japan, as Smyrna, and that's what we're asking for.
What's your name?
My name is Betty Jones.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash, and log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.